On this fourth Sunday of Advent, with the season of winter fully welcomed, yet for some reason acting more like fall, we have now lit all the candles of the wreath. And with preparations for the Feast of the Nativity forthcoming, both Isaiah and St. Matthew incline our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the birth of a child of great importance, a child with a great name, a child of great prophecy. Now, to be sure, this wasn't the first time a baby had been prophesied or predicted. We encounter this time and time again in the Old Testament with the birth of Ishmael, Isaac, Solomon, Josiah, and the New Testament story of John the Baptist. The methods of God are sometimes beyond our fathoming, but sometimes God is rather consistent in the medium of the message. For in each story, either an angel of the Lord or the Lord himself predicted or announced the promised birth of a son. In each birth, the child was certainly a sign of hope for either the parent themselves or for the nation of Israel as a whole. Leave it to God to use a baby as a sign of hope, to lay the hopes and dreams along with the uncertainty and fears of a people upon the frail, helpless shoulders of a newborn. I can't blame God, for I remember doing the same thing as I held each of my children for the very first time. My heart was filled with hope and fear, images and dreams of their futures, what great moments of joy or tragedy awaited them. All filled my mind and my heart. To no fault of their own, on their tiny shoulders, I projected a whole world upon them. Indeed, what a sign a baby can be. But when you think about it, it all makes perfect sense. The God of the oppressed, the wandering people of the wilderness, the remnant, the God who favors the lowly, the downtrodden, the poor, the lame, the lost. Of course, this God would bring about God's reign through the least likely of ways. It should seem obvious to us now that, of course, God would have the Messiah born in a backwoods place and not a gilded palace, that the very Son of God, even in the beginning, unlike foxes and birds, wouldn't have a place to lay his sweet head. It should come as no surprise that the lineage of Jesus would also include some eye-popping and eyebrow-raising inclusions. God simply stayed true to the message and continued in God's MO. Yet the birth of Jesus, like those miraculous births before, is only half of this story for St. Matthew. Here, Matthew is concerned with the function of the one conceived. Since in the ancient world, especially in a Jewish household, nothing set the stage for one's function in life more than the name granted to the child. And in this case in particular, the one by whom the name was given. The birth of Jesus brings about two names, or perhaps one name and one title. In the quoted words of the prophet Isaiah, the child is to be named Emmanuel, God with us. The angel commands Joseph that he is to name this child Jesus. The people will name him Emmanuel. It is both this name and this title that lay out God's plan for this child. The name of Jesus, the Greek rendering of Joshua, meaning to save or salvation, cements for us the desired hope that this child will bring, the salvation of the people. But unlike Joshua of Nun, the leader of Israel post Moses. Jesus, this Joshua, comes not to simply save Israel from their Gentile enemies. Instead, he comes to save his people from their sins. Indeed, what a promise a name can hold. For it is in the naming of the child that Joseph, through his proclamation, claims Jesus as his very own son. And by claiming him as his own, Yehoshua bar Yosef, Jesus, the son of Joseph, he thus fulfills the prophecy. Jesus, as the son of Joseph, is also then truly son of David. And this son of David will be born of a virgin as claimed in Matthew's gospel. The prophet Isaiah had foretold of the birth of a child. And that child may have been born well before the birth of Christ. But the prophecy, holding an even greater promise, had yet to be fulfilled. The virgin Israel, as she was called by the prophets Amos and Isaiah, had yet to birth forth the Messiah. So Mary, daughter of Adam, daughter of Israel, stands in as proxy to bring forth God incarnate, starting the fulfillment of the promises that God had made. So here we are, on the fourth Sunday and final Sunday of Advent, filled with the anticipation of Christ's advent among us. We are reminded of the hope that this child brings and the promise that is attached to his very name, a name above all names, that through the faithful acts of Mary and Joseph, this child of prophecy would come into the world to save us from our sin. That by the adoption of Jesus by Joseph, he would connect the true vine to the tree of Jesse. And it is through this son of Joseph, this very son of David, that we are given the name children of God. It is through the womb of baptism that we claim the promises of the covenant and are called into the mission of the body of Christ. It is in his true presence in the bread and the wine that he continues to fulfill for us his title of Emmanuel, God is with us. Indeed, God is with us this day. For even as we sing in these final days of Advent, O come, Emmanuel, the God of mercy and hope, will change our song to Maranatha, the Lord has come. Amen, and thanks be to God.